foreign language to them, they wouldn't know what was being said.
Right, don't go away, Roger, because we need to get to the serious message encoded in this book. Because books can be deceptive. Like I would normally avoid, even at Hay, an academic analysis of the iambic pentameter as used by William Shakespeare. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Unless it was a pocket-sized volume written in a chatty style and entitled Shakespeare on Toast. Still, don't be deceived. This little book, written by actor and linguist Ben Crystal from Holyhead, will take you up literary alleyways you never thought you'd ever want to enter on your own.
I don't like academic books on Shakespeare, and this is part of the problem. I love Shakespeare, but when I first sort of came to him, I didn't. And then I started acting in him, and I understood him a bit better, I think. But any time I tried to approach a book to help me sort of take a step further, it left me bored. And I suddenly thought, well, I started going around and talking to people about this, and I thought, well, what if there are people out there that sort of, there's this onus on us because, you know, Shakespeare is part of our heritage that we feel that we should appreciate him and understand him, and what if you want to but you can't find a way in? And someone very sweetly described the book as being deceptively scholarly, which is nice, and that's great, really, because I want people to enjoy themselves. And then by the time you get to the, you know, slightly trickier stuff of the iambic pentameter and what a stupid phrase it is as well. But, as I say in the book, the wonderful thing about it is that apart from the fact that it was the most popular style of poetry at the time, and apart from the fact that it has that rhythm, the dum-da-dum-da-dum rhythm that we all sort of know, it's much more than that. It's a human-sounding style of poetry because that de-dum-de-dum is the beat of our hearts. It's the same rhythm as we speak in nowadays. You know, that de-dum, 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 I went to town to buy a coat. And we're still speaking in that rhythm. It's also one line of that poetry, that style of poetry, is perfect for the size of our lungs. So it's a performance style of poetry. And then he used this very human style of poetry to explore what it was to be human. Not British or English or from Warwickshire or Somerset or London or wherever. He explored what it was to be human, and that's why it's exciting. And it's also exciting because he filled it with silent stage directions. If you know how to read it, you can hear his voice directing his actors.
Now, this is where the book, certainly as far as somebody like me who hasn't read many academic books or indeed any academic books on Shakespeare, this is where it seems to break new ground. Because what you are telling us is that that Shakespeare used the rhythm of the verse to communicate stage directions to the actors. He was actually there with them, although the idea of a director was unknown in those days. He might just as well have been the director saying, here, say it like this. Absolutely. This is what I want. This is what I want this character to sound like.
Yeah, it's really quite staggering. And once you find these clues and sort of give the reader a toolkit to find them, It's like a treasure hunt. It becomes a sort of Da Vinci Code treasure hunt to find his voice within the text. I mean, just to take an easy example with the meter, using a line from Marlowe, is this the face that launched a thousand ships? De-dum, 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 de-dum. The stronger stresses are on the important words. Is this, not someone else's, the face, not the arm or the leg, that launched, not set fire to, a thousand ships? Not is this the face that launched a thousand ships? So you've already got a silent direction there to give the important words because they've got the iambic stress. But Shakespeare took it a step further, I think, anyway. The clues that are there, I mean, if there's 10 syllables in a line of metre, and then you go, oh, God, syllables, metre, geez, this is... No, but wait, if there's supposed to be 10 syllables in the line and there are less than 10... at any one point, then either he was a terrible writer and he couldn't count, or he was a genius and he intended there to be less. Now, the actors would have had this rhythm going through their blood, this de-dum-de-dum-de-dum rhythm, so would the audience, and they would know, they would instinctively know when it was off-kilter. And when it was off-kilter, it meant something. It was Shakespeare sticking a flag in it and saying, hey, the rhythm is out of sync because the character is out of sync. So if the metric rhythm in a speech or a play or a scene is steady, then the character's mind is steady. Macbeth, when he says If it were done, when it is done, then too well, it were done quickly, and he's trying to decide whether or not to kill Duncan. The meter is all over the place because he's all over the place. And an Elizabethan actor would have seen that straight away. You know, they would have performed the plays in the afternoon at 2 o'clock because it would have been too expensive to light the theatres at night. They'd finish the play at four or so, the 2 hours traffic of our play. They'd get the lines for the new play for the next day. They'd have performed a new play every day. They'd turn up at the theatre the next day, rehearse the dances and the fights, and perform the play at 2 o'clock. There would have been no time for rehearsal. So Shakespeare would have known how well the actors would have known this rhythm, known how well they would have known him because they all worked with him for 20 years, and knew that if he made it metric or rhythmically different or made something like... you know, the beginning of Hamlet, one of the guards says, not a mouse stirring. Well, that's quite difficult to say quickly, mouse stirring. You have to separate it to make people hear it clearly. So the actors would have known that Shakespeare's asking them to slow down, be very clear about this, because, of course, the guards don't mean mice, they mean the ghost.
Ben Crystal, who's been here in a dual role. As an actor, he's been voicing the poetry and prose of Nicholas Hynie.